Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I hate to say it because I think the guy's been wildly overrated here the last 2 years, but he's improved. Well, I thought he used to suck. He's elevated from suck, in my opinion, to serviceable.
Yeah, I think he's sort of is what he is. I think he's a serviceable player. I don't think that he's a star, but I never really understood, you know, your sort of Kostowski like
last year he sucked, please. And he sucked worse the year before. It was degrees of suck.
To me, it's personal. I've never met him, but every time I hear him open his mouth, I'm like, you are a tool. You are an ass. But every time I hear him talk, I'm like, where did that attitude come from? You suck. And you can't, and if it wasn't for this team, you'd be covering punts in Detroit. You suck. Well, where do you get that attitude from?
They could have used someone covering punts the other night in Detroit.
My God. So
they had trouble with that element.
For me, I just don't like the guy.
So that was a couple of days ago, right? Wednesday afternoon. I'm Felger Mass. Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Here on this Friday.
I was on my couch. I heard that one. It's not like when I bring Paul in for Sunshine Day and all that.
I texted you that day and I said, I just kind of heard this in the background. Was it Van Noy they were just ripping?
Yeah.
And it was. It was. And I texted you and no one responded to my text. And so I forgot all about it until yesterday. It blew up on the interwebs on Twitter.
Because I've heard them. Barstool.
I was like, oh yeah, wait, I heard this the other day.
I didn't look twice at it and or think twice about it because I've heard them say this about him before, and I think it was out at the Super Bowl last year.
Really?
Yeah.
What's their issue with this guy?
I don't know. I think this is where if you get upset as a player is okay. I just don't like you, or the attitude. When's he ever had an attitude problem?
I don't know. And maybe he has, I've never heard that.
Remember Monty Beisel? That guy had issues. And don't talk to me on all that. Come in here and look at it. Monty Beisel's a prick.
Oh, yeah. He was all, what do you call it? Was it, oh, my God. Quarterback San Diego years ago.
Drew Brees?
No. Lunatic. Guy who sucked.
Oh, Ryan Leaf.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. He went all Ryan Leaf people, right?
Yeah. Attack people in the locker.
You told me that before.
Van Noy does all the interviews, talks like we have him on. We had him on. He was good.
I love the man.
He knows how to do radio a little bit. You know, he came on with us.
Came on with us in camp. Yeah. Came on with us the other day. We're hoping to have him again. And now what? Like what? What? There's no issue here. There's no issue with Kyle Van Noy. I don't get it. Have you ever heard him have an attitude?
No, I just think that they're looking for guys like Willie. You know, they want Willie McGinnis type players. Like I think they look at it as okay. They found a serviceable guy to what they look at it as, and now all of a sudden people are looking at him as a starter and a Vrabel and Ninkovich.
First of all, to be overrated, to get back to the point about football, you've got to be highly rated by someone.
Right.
When has he ever been overrated? I disagree. I just disagree with that sports point.
Yeah.
About Kyle Van Noy. I disagree with that. No one's overrating him. No one's saying he's an all-pro player.
Brandon Bolden. Should be like you're the guy you have an issue with, the Brandon Bolden. Like
people, not because it's personal. Right. I think he's a jackass. I just don't think he's very good.
Well, that's being overrated. Like, how do you stick around on a team?
I think people overrated his special teams. Crap. Yes, I do.
I mean, I don't know what your expectations were when they brought Van Noy.
It's not personal.
He's played himself into this.
It sounds personal in some way.
Like, I don't like
it. To Felger. What did Perillo say? Perillo was like, I don't necessarily disagree. I'm like, what? Where did this come from?
Play it again.
I've never gotten that sense from this player at any point. I think he's funny. I think he plays the game a little bit on a team that has so few guys that have any personality whatsoever.
Are
afraid to show any personality publicly because we know that guys have personality on the team, but they're just so caught up in like the, you know, tightening up and don't say anything and don't, you know, be very strict and businesslike when talking to the media, because they put that fear into players there. Kyle Van Noy knows how to have some fun, have some personality, and still say nothing, is perfect,
I did 13 camp practices down there, and at the end of every practice, we get a player. Capella's down there, and he's
going,
and we went through the gamut of guys. And there's one guy that I think stuck out to us and said, wow, you know what? We got to do that that Wednesday interview all the time. Like, they make us do this Wednesday interview with a player. And over the years, it's been, Nate Solder, Sebastian Vollmer, Shane Vereen. And it was guys that, Vereen was good. I thought Vereen gave you something. They're just so worried about saying something that we said, hey, Van Noy's a pretty good interview.
We need that guy.
We want that guy.
That guy's great.
He was our number one pick for our Wednesday interview, if we could choose anybody. And we did Stephon Gilmore last week. So what we're going to do is alternate Gilmore and Vereen. Not Gilmore and Van Noy.
And Van Noy's a way better interview. Sorry. Yeah. That's just the truth. He's a great interview. He knows how to have some fun with it. He knows how to, show some personality and not give away
the state secrets. Where does this guy get off saying who he is? I don't understand.
Is that attitude? Is that what's being interpreted as attitude? Because everyone down there is just so bland that a guy stands out because he what? Has some personality to him? Is that the attitude? I mean, because I hear the criticisms of that team all the time, even from Felger, Maz, whoever, that, they don't say enough. They don't talk. They don't do, everyone's, just giving nothing answers down there. Well, it's the guy who actually gives you a little fun along the way.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. I've never heard any of this. And maybe I missed it.
I've heard their commentary on him before. This wasn't the first time.
Maybe I missed something.
They just, I think, get pigeonholed as they don't like that one guy.
Was there one particular incident? Was there something we missed along the way, Zoe?
Has he ever given a bad interview? Has he ever gotten snippy with somebody?
Not that I can tell.
I think he's pretty stand up. I think he's pretty available.
Would you say he's a rather friendly individual?
I would say so, yeah.
Approachable?
Yeah.
So what the hell's the issue?
I don't know. Could be a show issue. I don't know.
I don't get it.
I mean, doesn't come across like David Price, right? Price can seem prickly.
I hope I hope Kyle Van Noy's not pissed and isn't going to call us now because of them.
No, God no.
Okay.
Because he doesn't go on with them. He goes on with us.
I just hope he knows the difference.
I think he's professional enough to separate that. Come on. That was a little odd, though.
It's bizarre, if you ask me. I thought it was strange.
It's almost like their argument, he's not likable enough. Or there's... I still don't understand what the issue is with him.
Do they think he acts?
He's got an attitude, and he thinks he's better than he is.
Yeah, that's what I took out of it. You'll have this one kid. Like, who the hell does this kid think he is? And I'm not talking about Kyle, but this guy thinks his bleep doesn't stink. Maybe it's one of those. I never got that from him.
I mean, how much time do you really spend thinking about Kyle Van Noy?
Normally, the
anybody. I mean, that's not a knock. He's not Rob Gronkowski or Tom Brady. He's not one of these large, star type of names in the NFL. Right. So I just, what? I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. I don't get it.
Like Rajon Rondo, bad attitude.
I don't get it.
I don't like him. Prickly. David Price, same thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Mm.
Don't really fully understand it.
But I guess he's a stoolie, and that's where he heard up and picked up on it.
So. And by the way, he wasn't covering punts in Detroit. He was playing. It wasn't just covering punts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I just found it a little strange, is what I did. So he knows about it? You ran it on Barstool?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did he say? What the bleep?
I guess he talked to Paul about it in the locker room. I don't know. So
that's Paul Perillo.
Yeah.
Who was on the show.
Because Paul's on the building and writes for PFW. I mean, yeah. But I guess Paul was on with them. When the commentary went down.
And Paul was involved.
Was he? I got to hear it again.
Yeah, hear it again.
All right.
We'll hear it again.
Hey,
and you can hear it for yourself one more time.
One more time.
I hate to say it because I think the guy's been wildly overrated here the last 2 years, but he's improved.
Well, I thought he used to suck. He's elevated from suck, in my opinion, to serviceable.
Yeah, I think he's sort of is what he is. I think he's a serviceable player.
Stop right there. Okay, so not a star. He's improved year to year. He's gotten better as a player. So there's nothing wrong with what they said there, right? Because you're evaluating the guy for what you think the guy is.
That seemed positive. That seemed pretty positive.
That seemed like we're trending up. And then something went.
And then it went a different direction.
So go.
Even though Maz, when he was talking about it, make sure to tell you, he thinks he's okay now, but he sucked and sucked and sucked the last 2 years.
That's a massive word, suck. Yeah, yeah. It's a big word.
Serviceable player. I don't think that he's a star, but I never really understood, you know, your sort of Krestowski like
last year he sucked, please. And he sucked worse the year before. It was degrees of suck.
To me, it's personal. So now it's back to suck, suck, and suck worse. He's Mass said he sucks,
right. It's like
but I tell
even,
you what, he's gotten better.
Said the guy's gotten better.
He said, I got to give him credit. He's gotten better, but now it's back to suckitude.
And it was so obvious. Maybe those guys just didn't like how many times you and I said how good of a camp Kyle Van Noy had this year because it was so noticeable.
I mean, he popped on the field. That's all. What are you going to do?
Sam popped. Kyle Van Noy stood out during Patriots training camp. If you went there, if you watched practices, you would see that Kyle Van Noy was standing out on the field.
Four players
as
on
one
defense.
Of the easily identified most improved players on this team.
Four players on defense. Gilmore, Van Noy, Bentley, the young linebacker, and Claiborne stood out to me as far as motor guys, approach, practiced hard, look good in practice. That's all.
Instincts were better, and he even told us that and said the fact that he's been here for over a year now, he sort of really has a firm grasp on everything within the defense, and it helped him.
But how's it go from 10 seconds to
where
he got better from Mass?
Than do that to Felger when he comes in, by the way. Be like, but Felger, if you went to the practices and watched the practices like we did, then you would have seen this.
No, I'm not pulling one of those either. I'm not pulling those, why don't you come show your face? No, I'm just saying maybe the overrated part was from people who were talking about that because we spent a lot of time talking about Kyle Van Noy in camp. I'm not pulling that crap. Oh, why don't you go to practice? Why don't you show your face? I saw some of the gatekeepers down there tweeting that crap yesterday. Oh, Felger, Mass should come say it to his face. Well, if someone's a dick and it's obvious, you can say that about them. I mean, that's just what you can do that. But I'm just sort of thrown off by this because I don't think that's ever happened with him. There are plenty of people in sports that you can easily identify as being a jerk without ever having met them or gone down there and seen them in the locker room. This guy I just don't think qualifies. That's all. That's my point. And he even said it was personal.
To me, it's personal. I've never met him, but every time I hear him open his mouth, I'm like, you are a tool. You are an ass. But every time I hear him talk, I'm like, where did that attitude come from? You suck. And you can't, and if it wasn't for this team, you'd be covering punts in Detroit. You suck.
Wow.
That's a little harsh.
Why? How dare you have any personality because you suck, Kyle Van Noy? That's what he's saying.
Who do you think you are to have a pulse?
I don't know, man. It's just such a random guy to be.
That one came out.
What's up about that?
But I've known they've viewed him that way before. But I think this one they have. I don't.
But I'm with you. First time with you, Beto. Like the whole thing. It's like they wouldn't say it to my face. I'm like, yes, Kyle Van Noy could beat up everybody.
He said it's personal.
Every station in town all at once. It's not about a personal confrontation. And the other thing that he said was, I think they'd be a little more appreciative of the guys who play football here. Well, again, don't confuse the commentators with fans. The guys who sit here and talk about, everybody at some point is going to be critical of some player on a Boston team. It's not about the appreciation. It's about commenting on the players. The problem is, Felger admitted it was personal.
Yeah.
So now you're getting personal about it. All right. So he doesn't have a personal appreciation, and maybe he doesn't have a football appreciation, all of that. But to say it's like, oh, come down and say it to my face, well, you don't have to get so personal. Felger did get a little personal when he said, it's a personal thing, I just don't like the guy. Like, you kind of opened yourself up for that a little bit.
617-779-0985. You want to talk about this? I see that some of you already do. We'll get to your calls coming up next on this. Kyle Van Noy ripped by Felger, Mass, Perillo. Right here on the Sports Hub. I don't think it's going over so well down there. And coming up at 11:50, Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop. We'll be giving away a $100 gift card at 11:50. So don't go anywhere.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can talk about 95. The Sports Hub.
Anthony's in Hingham. Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'll be quick, and then I'll hang up. Yeah, when I heard that yesterday, I couldn't believe it because I heard the interview. I think it was the first player interview you guys did in the preseason, and I was like thrown back. He was like, wow, you know, I'm finally someone talking. And he's yes. funny too while he's doing it. I would just say, Felger, be careful throwing stones if you know you live in a glass house. You know, if you didn't make the Brady and decline comment, I don't know where he'd be reading that poll every year. So with a big smile on his face. So that's my
okay, Anthony, appreciate the call.
Big polls put smiles on my face.
Mark is in the car. Mark, go ahead.
Well, I have no idea what Van Noy's football trajectory is, but any player with any cachet at all is going to have or consider their brand. It's pretty patently obvious that Felger and Maz have dick tendencies. And Van Noy should probably thank Felger. You know, I mean, he's created more brand for Van Noy in the last 24 hours than if Van Noy sacked the quarterback three times on Sunday. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You know, the guy gives a good interview, Van Noy does, and now he's got a good amount of airtime, and you guys are going to have him on Wednesdays, and congratulations to him.
Thank you.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope we talk to Kyle Van Noy every week this year. I know it's not going to happen,
yes,
but I want him on every single week now.
I'd rather have him every week.
Every week. I'd gladly take him every single week on this show.
Yeah.
John in the car. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I heard the interview Wednesday with Van Noy. I thought he was awesome. He was funny. He had personality. My other take, though, is I think he appeared the same day you had Friedel on, and that's an interview you guys got to stop doing. It's just bad radio. He's not funny. He has long run-on answers, and it's all delivered in monotone. I mean, the Red season can't come to a close fast enough if it means the end of that interview.
Well, I mean, you know I'm a big soccer guy, and we'll do the Rev interview each and every week. I like talking cleat. Up there on the pitch. Then it's Friedel and the Beetle.
Oh, pitch patter.
If Kyle Van Noy calls every single week, I will continue doing that Brad Friedel interview right. Every single week.
Yes.
How does that sound?
Well, give and take.
Step outside of your comfort zone for 4 minutes a week. You'll be all right.
I'm talking front defenders.
Glenn and Natick. Hi, Glenn.
Start that goalie or not?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Glenn.
This is sort of a referendum on Felger and Naz. They just... You know, the thing I like about you guys, you're objective, you criticize when it's necessary, you don't overdo it. These guys are like the boy crying wolf. It's constantly, everyone sucks. Van Noy is, no one ever said he's a great player. I think he's a solid player. They like him. He does what they asked him to do. Maybe last year they asked him to do more than he was capable because Hightower wears down. But, you know, it really gets old after a while, and I know they do well. They're lucky that this sports town's craving sports talk, and I think that's why they thrive. But sometimes it's just over the top, but... You guys always do a good job. When you have to call someone out, you do, but you also don't go over the top. For Matt to say the guy sucks and then criticize his character, just really off the map there.
But oh, no, he said he sucked, but he said he's actually gotten better and he's improved.
Well,
and then he went back
part.
To he sucks again.
He said he's improved.
He doubled down on a suck
and
part.
He, like, he even said he hated to admit it. He hated to admit that he had, what, gotten better. Why do you hate to admit it?
See,
it is what it is.
And I think
and Kyle Van Noy last year did have some bad games. And the year before that, when he first got here, he had some bad games.
And if he did, then that's fair to criticize. I think as a player, you understand that, right? I think as a player.
Yes.
Your play will always be evaluated whether good or bad. And you'll never have an issue with that if somebody comments on it. I think where the player could potentially have an issue is it just said, you know, there, it got personal. It's personal with me. That's where he's like, wow, what did I ever do to you? You know, and then that's where you double down on the suck. And I mean... I don't get it. I don't get it on that one. Because I think from an expectation standpoint, when you look at a guy like Dante Hightower, it's boom tire. You better get a sack. You better get quarterback pressures. Big play capability. And like Ninkovic, role player. Kyle Van Noy, damn good role player. Understands the defense. Smart kid. Gives you good interview. Is there something that comes off in the interview or the way he talks that upsets you? I don't understand that one.
Let's go to Pete, who's in Delaware. Pete?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I listen to both radio shows. I love them both. But I went in with a negative attitude when you were interviewing Van Noy, but after I came out very positive about him.
Well, wait a minute. Why'd you go in with a negative attitude? I just want to ask you that.
I'll be honest. I listen to Felger and Maz, too, and, you know, it's always been kind of negative on the guy. So, but I did give it a chance, and I thought he was really engaging, personally. I thought he was great. But I do think the biggest mistake, I mean, Mike's biggest mistake, in my opinion, was using the word personal. They never used that word with David Price, and they kill him way worse, but they've never used the word personal.
All right, but David Price, on the other hand, has been a jackass and acted like a jackass on many occasions in full public view.
And he's been really good this past week or so, and we have complimented him for, wow, David Price looks good and feels good and should get credit for being good.
And we've given him credit when he says good things.
What do you tell Johnny?
Like we did yesterday.
Do your job for you, Johnny.
He had a great answer. Wow, great answer, great outlook, right? But when you act like a jackass, it's okay to say, wow, why is this guy being a jackass? I just can't recall a situation in which Kyle Van Noy was.
I don't need you. I go home. I got my wife and my dog and my mother-in-law.
First of all, am I biased on this too? Yes, because I like him. Because I like him personally. Personally, I like him. So I'm on the other side of it. It's personal. I like Kyle Van Noy. But that's, you know, because he's got personality and he engages and he has fun with it. And so I get why, you know, when you hear Pete and Delaware say, oh, I had a negative reaction to hearing Kyle Van Noy was going to be on. I'll tell you why. Because it's not a big name. Because it's not Brady. It's not Gronkowski. Heck, even Stephon Gilmore is a bigger name, right? Huge contract.
Yeah, 15 million a year. Yeah.
Your top corner on your team, that's a bigger name than Kyle Van Noy.
Right.
Kyle Van Noy is a better interview than any of those other three. Just is.
Yeah.
It's a better interview than Gronk. He's a better interview than Stephon Gilmore. And Brady doesn't give you anything anymore.
Brady's too protected.
Boring.
Yep. Yep.
You want to learn something from Brady? Watch Tom versus Time. Don't have an interview with him.
Yeah, by the book.
He's more likely to hang up the phone on you now.
By the book.
Because he doesn't like your questions. Kyle Van Noy plays along. That's why I cannot afford to not have Kyle Van Noy on this show.
Yeah. Don't ruin a good thing.
James is in Boston. James.
Hey, I think he's upset when he blasted the Packers. I think that's why he hates Van Noy when Van Noy defended.
Who blasted the Packers?
Van Noy, when they were ripping on Martavis Bennett, he went and defended him and ripped on all the Packers, and that's why I think Felger says it's personal.
Hmm. Yeah, there was apparently. I just looked this up. Martavis Bennett took a lot of crap in Green Bay when he left Green Bay.
It was the way he left with the injury and came back here and signed. And I have to remember in Green Bay, everybody was upset. Like, you couldn't have played, thought you were going to retire. Now you're going to go play for the Patriots and get a ring. They ended up shutting him down.
Yeah, he tweeted about it, defending Martellus Bennett. I don't know if that's it. I don't know if that's really it. I doubt it. I doubt that's it. Ilya and Mendon. Ilya.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good.
Hey, do you guys think last year, like, Bill signed James Harrison looking at it like, yeah, we need help, but maybe he's going to help Van Noy at the end of the day?
No.
Like, you know, maybe it was four games, but you don't think he might have helped Van Noy a little bit?
No. They signed James Harrison because they had nobody. They had no bodies. They had guys going down. You remember Derek Rivers blew out his knee in the joints against Houston. The Coney Ealy experiment never worked out. He ended up getting cut. Alan Branch came back heavy, not as intense as years prior. Was deactivated most of the year. They had no bodies. He needed help. And James Harrison was there. He got cut. They picked him up.
That's our gripe on Felger, Maz, Perillo about Kyle Van Noy.
I was trying to understand it.
Coming up next, we've got Read and React. And don't forget, $100 gift card to Stop and Shop. We're giving it away at 11:50.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox completed the sweep of the Blue Jays last night. Alex Cora happy with Brandon Workman and his role in the win last night.
Yeah, that was good to see. Me and Ron, we were talking about it, and he was very aggressive. And he was able, like, 0-2, he had options there. He has a good breaking ball. If they wanted to, they could expand down in the zone because his breaking ball is that good. But
Workman worked himself out of the jam last night. Only pitched a third of an inning, but that was enough en route to the 4-3 win tonight. The homestand continues. It's the first of three against the Mets. Patriots continue their preparations for their visit to the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. The NFL week began last night. The Ravens lost to the Bengals in Cincinnati 34-23. Bruins set to play the Flames in China. The game is going to happen, let's see, the 12,
they get their equipment
15,
yet?
15 hours from now.
They get their equipment yet?
15 hours from now, they'll face off. Yeah, I guess.
Got their customs, huh?
Cleared customs. You'll hear the game right here on 98.5. The Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Nissan. Now's the best time to save big at Nissan's Take Home a Titan Truck Month event. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, The Sports Hub. It's time to read.
Strap yourself in, Hardy.
And react.
I'm reading the jello pudding.
With Zolak and Bertrand.
To the window! To the wall!
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Read and react off to a smashing start.
Yeah. Got a little trigger happy there, Toots.
Just stop watching those videos you got on over there.
I'm all
what are you watching,
right?
Golf again?
No.
Let's go.
Are you guys ready or not?
Yeah, we're ready.
Been ready. I'm born ready.
To our board operators up and down the line, your next scheduled local break is at the end of the game.
React. People are lucky
Tennessee
to have us.
Tennessee Titans Radio Network.
So
people
good.
Are lucky to have
so
us.
So good.
Wow.
Game of the week. Packers, Vikings, Sunday, Green Bay. Mike McCarthy with the status of Aaron Rodgers after his injured knee.
I think he's going through, you know, the process. You know, obviously when you're, you know, whatever the protocol is, you know, I'm sure he's, you know, sore today. I think it's, you know, this is no layup, and I mean that's why it's a day to day situation.
I say to that, Rodgers told you he's going to play.
Rodgers is playing at the
post game.
Can we talk about that?
This is a guy that's got to practice. Does he have to practice? Does he have to practice?
He looked like he was dead going off that field and going into that tent.
It's like Paul Pierce.
Oh, please.
Nice pass, Paul Pierce.
Fine. He's going to play. He's got a sore knee.
It's like he blew it out.
He has sprained knee.
He had surgery on it before. It's been injured a couple of times before.
Did he come back and play at the end of the game last week?
How do you look, Hardy?
Was he hopping around?
He did make it. He was hopping around a little bit. He was favoring the one leg.
He's got a little ham.
Yeah,
to
then
him.
He won the game.
He's got a little ham to him.
Okay? Well, he's a nice team.
I like it. I like him as a player. But you have Mike Tirico talking like somebody died at halftime. The update. This lead story.
Do you think that a guy like Aaron Rodgers sort of has that drive thing that Brady's got? I mean, like from a staying on the field standpoint. Brady's durability has been nearly unmatched by anybody at that position in the history of the league. I'm not kidding. That's not an overstatement.
Okay.
I don't think Brady would have gone to the locker room.
I don't think Brady would have either. I think Rodgers' durability and his injury history is problematic. But, like, that game last week, I look at and say, I don't know if Tom Brady would have went to the locker room.
It's not a great look to be carted off and then come back and play.
Thank you. Especially
no
in
way
that
around
league.
No
where
way
guys
around
who get hurt, not quarterbacks, but guys who get hurt say, I never, ever wanted to take a cart to get off the field. You know that guys hate that in the NFL. They never want to be carted off.
You're on the cart, you're not coming back. He came back. He's going to play this
because
week.
He's fine and he's going to play. He's fine.
But according to ballfields.com,
They'd say fields.
I did. Fields.
Ball fields. Fields. The old ball fields.
It says fields.
Lions play in San Francisco against the 49ers.
You know what I like about this game? Either Matt Patricia or Jimmy Garoppolo will be 0-2 to start
this
year.
It's a hell of a watch.
That makes it interesting for us.
Sure does.
It's Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead day at the stadium.
Shut up. You serious?
Yeah.
They already have a bobblehead day for him.
Of course they do. He's a franchise quarterback.
Jimmy G.
What's it look like?
Asked about the game this week.
Remember the Toucher and Rich ones?
Gotta be
nothing like him.
Good looking bobblehead. They can't screw that one up. A Jimmy G bobblehead.
Dude, they probably bought them all from
glowing
Disney.
Glowing black hair.
They probably bought all the old
Aladdin
ones from Disney.
Aladdin bobblehead.
And they just slapped a tent on it and said,
There it is.
The galloping chicken.
Here's Jimmy G.
What's been your message these last few days, Jimmy, as you guys get over this first loss?
You know, it's we're on to Detroit.
Oh, boring. Boring, God. Boring, boring.
I don't like his press conference.
He sounds like a patriot.
Here's a conference call that started out a little odd with Matt Patricia. All right? So he's got his coaches.
He's got a history on these.
His antennas are up.
He's got a coaches conference call. And just listen to this start.
Dave Burkett, just curious. You know, Glover Quinn has one of the longest starting streaks in the NFL going right now. I know he played fewer snaps than your other safeties the other day. How conscious are you of Glover's streak when you're making decisions who starts and who doesn't?
Good morning. I thought I'd just start off by just thanking everybody for kind of adjusting here.
What?
Hey, I heard a question.
You think you didn't hear it at all?
I don't think you heard it. I think you're sitting there with a PR guy. They put that big you know, the
phone.
Yeah, the, not the big. It looks like a spaceship, but it's like one of those.
What about the breathing?
Conference call
what
phones.
About the breathing? The
probably would just walked in a room, pull up, sit down in a chair. All right, opening statement.
Good morning. I thought I'd just start off by, just thanking everybody for kind of adjusting here with the conference call. I think I appreciate that a lot. You guys probably need a break looking at my beard anyway, so I figured we'd try to do it this way as I'm kind of running in between meetings Thursday.
Just don't start getting cute down. Now. Getting tired looking at my beard. No. Your team's not very good. You got your ass kicked in week one. Let's not get cute now.
And we gotta dissect this a little bit here. Listen to what he says.
Try to do it this way as I'm kind of running in between meetings. Thursday gets to be a little bit busy as we move into third down.
Oh, boy.
Now, is that a metaphor
Thursday
for like Thursday?
To third down?
Or is Thursday like third down, and then by the time you get to Saturday, that's like fourth down, and then the game on Sunday, that's...
Thursday's... What day is for the ball?
Atlanta's ball
Thursday's
day down
for the ball.
In Atlanta. It's Thursday's dedicated to the ball.
I mean, when you think about it, Thursday, Tuesday's the mandatory off day in the NFL. Thursday is the third work day of the week in the NFL.
Who's the wacko coach?
Although they played on Monday night.
Oh, question. Who's the wacko coach that switched the schedule and gave, like, Thursday the players off? Remember how well that was working? Did that stick?
Coughlin, right?
Was it? I almost said Carroll.
I thought it was...
Jeff Fisher, wasn't it?
Oh, it might have been Fisher, too.
Yeah, that did.
Yes, it was,
well,
Jeff, it was Jeff Fisher.
So just I appreciate everybody's patience with that. As far as Glover's concerned, Glover's an outstanding.
Oh, he did hear, the,
did
question.
Hear the question.
Oh.
Football player, outstanding, professional, guy that really.
So at least he answered it, though.
Yeah,
he got to it. Well, he didn't avoid it.
He got to it.
Three.
Tom.
React.
Always great.
Cowboys and Giants play Sunday Night Football. Giants safety Landon Collins on how to stop Dallas.
You really got to focus on stopping Zeke, making sure that every run gap, every plan out gap assignments, making sure we close the air out of put the ball into deck hands. I mean, I think we have a better shot at winning.
What did he say there?
I'm not sure.
Put the ball into Dak's hands. We have a better shot at winning.
Oh, Dak.
Whoa.
I couldn't quite make out what he was saying.
What did I tell you? They got nobody to throw to, nobody on the outside. And I said this last week. They're going to load up 8 guys, shut down a run, and put the ball in Dak's hands.
So naturally, what does Dak have to say about this?
Landon Collins said earlier this week that, again, they were going to concentrate on Zeke. They wanted to put the ball in your hands because they think they had a better chance.
Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
Well, that's a good answer. Nothing wrong with that answer. And nothing wrong with the first answer. Put the ball in Dak's head.
I don't have a problem with
that. To me, would be the strategy right now to try and beat the Cowboys.
Breathe. You've been a very good boy.
Jack.
React.
Nike.
Jack.
Little bongos in the background. Just need some steel drums.
Hot.
Hey, man!
Bills host the Chargers on Sunday.
Bills, Chargers. There'll be about 8 people watching that game.
Yeah, Buffalo head coach Sean McDermott asked why he chose Josh Allen as a starter this week. So ESPN picked up on a phrase he used a lot during the press conference.
Need, honestly, to elaborate. That's, we talk a lot in-house about decisions and things and what we've got to do and the right move at the right time. And,
hey,
and right now,
Sal,
this, with all respect to your question, this is the right move for us. It's the right move for our team. It's the right move for our team. It's the right move. That's what we got. It's the right move for us and where we are. It's the right move. I'm not going to get into how permanent it is, guys. And again, you got to understand where I'm coming from. It's the right move for our football team. And I'm not going any further than that. It's the right move for our team. I've got confidence in Josh. I have confidence in this football team. And it's the right move for our team. Just like this, I feel like is the right move. I feel like that was the right move. And I'll take that to my grave. That's how I felt about it. I'm always going to try and make the right move for our football team.
Again,
there's a lot of things, like a lot of variables that go into it.
It's mutant.
It's the right move.
Head
for our
coach
team.
Robots.
He's not done.
Back to
Dan Quinn.
That was all one press conference.
Matt Nagy.
Oh.
You throw them all in a bunch.
The right move.
Who's the guy out
the right
in Arizona?
Move.
Come on, quick.
Head Wilkes.
Coach.
Steve Wilkes.
Steve Wilkes. Throw them all in a pat. You pick them, and they all the same.
14.
Is there any way they could? Flex out of the Monday night game.
If I were the Bills.
Is that possible?
No, those are set.
God,
if I were the Bills.
I got to spend another 12 freaking hours in Buffalo.
If I were the Bills, I would start playing in for the first overall pick.
Just do it now.
Just start now. Start early. Start now. tank for that first
What's
overall
their slogan?
Pick.
What's their slogan this year?
Right move.
Playoff caliber was last year. Right move.
All the right moves.
All the
we're gonna get
all
to,
the right moves.
We're gonna get the guys together Saturday night. We're gonna watch Tom Cruise classic. All the right moves, and I think it's the right move for the team. I was nervous.
I was nervous.
I was scared.
I was scared. Anybody want a peanut?
React.
It was Andrew Luck's birthday. We're going to have to get to that at some point, too. Maybe we'll just do that coming back on the other side, huh? Andrew Luck's birthday. Remember how much of a big deal they made out of Tom Brady's birthday?
Anybody call him Andy? Andy. Happy birthday, Andy.
I just want to give him a razor or a shower, just a shower kit. He's bathed in like 4 years.
Oh, man.
It's old man.
Coming up next, we're giving away, a $100 Stop and Shop gift card brought to you by Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop. That giveaway is coming up right after this.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Uptown, baby.
Wrong song.
Uptown, baby.
Wrong song.
That's right, Tom.
No, he's saying uptown instead of whatever time. Are we allowed to say that?
Uptown.
I don't want to be a player no more. I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
It's now time to give away a $100 gift card to Stop and Shop. It's Feed the Fan Fridays.
Feed it.
I had to read that again, don't I now? I want to make this nice and clean. It's Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card. To feed their fandom, visit stopandshop.com. That's the giveaway. Let's get back to some of your calls. Also, some leftovers from Read and React coming up. Yeah. Steve is in Tewksbury. Steve?
Stevie.
Hey, guys, what's up? I think Felger was mistaking Van Noy for Cassius Marsh.
You're the second person has sent us that.
Maybe.
Do you think so?
I think so, and I think I just bailed Felger out big time. Even if he wasn't, he could just say he was.
Why do you think that is? What did Cassius Marsh do?
Oh, he was mouth in the offseason.
I remember Felger talking about Cassius Marsh last year or 2 years ago, and he was saying...
Entitled guy. That guy's entitled.
About Van Noy.
So maybe he confused the two? Well, I'll tell you, Cassius Marsh did stink.
Yeah. He ran his mouth in the offseason, too. It's a couple articles.
Maybe. Mike and Bridgewater on the Red Sox.
Mikey.
What do you got, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
How you doing, Mike?
Good. I just got a comment. Alex Cora, in an interview yesterday, said that our commander-in-chief was being disrespectful to his country. My question is this. Which country is Alex Cora referring to?
What?
Huh?
What?
I have no clue what he's talking about.
I have to go back and read Alex Cora's quotes. Alex Cora said yesterday that Donald Trump's comments about Puerto Rico were disrespectful.
Oh,
I saw that headline.
About the 3,000 people.
I don't know exactly what he said. Yeah. I have to go back.
It's the country thing, though. It's the Puerto Rico part of the U.S. That's his comment. That's why he said that way.
Okay. So what did he say? He's disrespectful against our country? That's what he said? And he was referring to Puerto Rico?
I believe so.
So the caller would have felt better if he said our territory?
I don't know.
What the hell? What are we doing here?
This just makes everybody nuts everywhere, all the time.
Surely does.
Yeah, you went through politics here, not me.
Surely does. Not only that, you call and you say, I want to talk about the Red Sox and 100 wins and the success of the team this year.
Oh, yeah, we want to talk about.
And then, of course, you sneak in your what's
you got us.
Alex Cora's like, yeah.
You got you. You got us talking politics. There's your 2 minutes.
You waited long enough. You snuck by. I said, oh, good, a little Red Sox. Let's mix in a Red Sox thought here. I'll mix in a Red Sox thought here. Their bullpen still is a train wreck. This team is unbelievable. Their bullpen is trash. Total trash. I'll tell you something that I know Alex Cora said yesterday because I saw it after the game. He said Joe Kelly needs to get better, and he knows he needs to get better. Well, I'm glad he knows it.
Because that means
we're telling you,
you better get better. That's the way I took
that. I don't know that they can use him.
They have to. What, do you use a knuckleballer?
How do you put him in a game in the postseason?
Well, who else are you going to put in?
But he walked. What did he do? It was a walk, a hit. And then two more.
He came into the game with two outs, by the way.
Two outs. So yeah. And I apologize for not knowing off the top of my head. I was watching it back and forth, but it was a walk. I think he gave up it. I think he hit two guys and let in a run that way. I mean, he loaded up the bases on trash. How do you put that guy in? So I'm not one of these guys that's so deathly afraid of a knuckleballer in the postseason. I know that's a thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me so much. I saw Stephen Wright do it a couple of nights ago. I'm like, okay, it's a little scary, but so what?
Yeah, but I think the problems are you get late into October and it's cold and it's all about weather too with those guys. And that can be problematic. And if all of a sudden you get a bad
ball's
weather
not
day
dancing.
Or the ball's not moving, now all of a sudden, okay, what the hell do we do?
I've got
you
got
to find a real pitcher.
So what was it?
Smoke was the guy at the plate when he came in. So it was a walk.
Great name.
Morales with a single.
Yep.
Then it was a hit by pitch, back to back.
Yeah, that's I had it.
Nuke Lelouch.
Base on balls, hit by pitch, hit by pitch.
That is so bad.
To be funny, wouldn't he like do a mound visit with like a cloth in his pocket, take it out, take Joe Kelly's glasses, wash, you know, clean them, and then put them back on.
So Pointer gave up the home run. Then he gets that foul out, and so there were two outs, and the bases were clear. Joe Kelly comes in, puts one on with a walk, another on with a single, two hit by pitches, and all of a sudden we've got a tie game. That happened fast.
And just to be
with
clear,
two outs, he got nobody out.
Beetle.
He didn't get anybody out.
To be clear, it's not personal. I like Joe Kelly, but I don't think you can put him on the postseason roster. Or you can put him on there, but when are you going to put him in a game?
All right, let's talk about something that was positive, because you know us. We like to be a positive show. You know, we don't succumb to that Red Sox negativity.
Right. Workman?
As of yesterday. We decided that yesterday.
Okay.
No, not Workman. Eddie Rodriguez.
Positive.
Eddie Rodriguez was cruising in that game yesterday, and Eck had some great commentary in-game where he said, look at the way he's pitching tonight. Look at the way he's changing speeds, and he's not overexerting himself, and he's not trying to throw gas. He said both versions of Eddie Rodriguez are great. What you've seen recently when he throws hard and throws with velocity, and then what you saw last night where he sort of was with location and changing speeds, and it was great. How can you not pencil him in as your third starter in the playoffs?
I'll tell you why. Because he goes six innings. And that's where the Red Sox run into trouble. I'm not being negative. I'm just saying, literally, what do? You can't go starter Kimbrel every night. You're going to need, at the very least, an eighth inning guy. You may need a setup guy. You need more than that. And I know they're going to use him. What are they going to do once he's done after six? Because that's what Eduardo Rodriguez gives you, six innings. We saw it again last night.
If you need a fourth starter, he should be your guy.
Fine. Tell me what you're going to do for him, definitely for him, and for Chris Sale, maybe. Chris Sale's going to pitch a few innings this weekend. Is he going to be ramped up and ready to go 7-8 in the postseason?
If my gut
tells me he's probably going to be a 6 or 6 2/3 type of guy.
Sale?
Once they get into the postseason.
Oh, I think right now we don't even know that. I mean, I'm not willing to just say that's going to be a given.
I'm going best case scenario.
Let me say this then. I feel better about the Red Sox and their ability to overcome Chris Sale being hurt, if he's hurt, because of Eddie Rodriguez. Because Price has pitched really well. Porcello's been okay. He's been decent, and he goes deep into games for the most part. And so I feel better because of Rodriguez and the way he's pitching right now. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I feel better about the Chris Sale situation, too. Nothing is making me feel better.
No, I don't feel better about him. I just feel better about their ability to overcome it if he's hurt.
That's the situation.
What's going to pick up speed, though, is if like David Price goes and cruises through his next start, and say Sale only gets through 2 2/3, it doesn't get to three like he's scheduled to do on Sunday, he's supposed to throw a bullpen today. When the playoffs start, is David Price your number one?
It's worthy of a discussion right now.
It's starting to pick up some steam out there.
I think that how far David Price has come.
Who knows?
How far he has come. Phil Perry is standing by. He will be with us in our Town Fair Tire studios to talk more Patriots in 90 seconds.